Copyright 2011 JKP Radha Madhav Dham. All rights reserved. Swami Nikhilanand is a disciple of Jagat Guru Sri Kripaluji Maharaj. He resides at Radha Madhav Dham in Austin, Texas, which is the US ashram of Jagat Guru Kripalu Parishad. He travels America preaching the philosophy of Sanatan Dharma as taught by Sri Kripaluji Maharaj. In this series, he gives an in-depth description of the different kinds of bhakti, the stages a devotee progresses through on the path of bhakti, and the ultimate goal, the divine bhakti. These speeches are based on the descriptions by Rup Goswami in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, as explained by Sri Kripaluji Maharaj.
तो दर्पण मार्जनम् भवमहादावाग्निनिर्वापणम् श्रेयः कैरवचन्द्रिका वितरणं विद्यावधूजीवनम् आनन्दाम्बुधिवर्धनम् प्रतिपदम् पूर्णामृतास्वादनम् सर्वात्मस्नपनं परं विजयते श्रीकृष्णसङ्कीर्तनम् नमः कमलनाभाय नमः कमलमालिने नमः कमलपादाय नमस्ते कमले क्षण यो ब्रह्माणं विदधाति पूर्वं यो वै वेदांश्च प्रहिणोति तस्मै तग्वंह देवमात्मबुद्धिप्रकाशं मुमुक्षुर्वै शरणमहं प्रपद्ये
Dear devotees, we'll do a few minutes of Nam Sankirtan, and after that, I'll continue with the topic of Bhav Bhakti.
Bhajo Giridhar Govinda Gopal Kala
Jogiri Dhar Govind Gopala
Bhajo Giri 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 Dhar Govind Gopala
jogire dhar govind gopala
bole vrindavan bihari lal ki. In this series on bhakti, I've explained to you that there are three kinds of bhakti: sadhana bhakti, bhav bhakti, and prema bhakti. So the last few days we've been concentrating on sadhana bhakti, which is the practice of devotion. What do we have to do? Because prema bhakti is the ultimate goal which we receive upon complete heart purification. That's just gifted to us, graced to us by a rustic saint. So when does he grace us? When our heart is fully purified. So to get to that point, we have to do sadhana bhakti. So what is sadhana bhakti? I explained. It's generally said to be done in one of nine ways, although there could be uncountable ways of practicing sadhana bhakti. Saints have given most importance to navadha bhakti, nine ways. And out of those nine, three are most important: Shravana Bhakti, Kirtan Bhakti, and Smarana Bhakti. And out of those three, Smaran, loving remembrance of Radha and Krishna, is prime. That's the one which must be done in all situations, because that's the only one which is internal bhakti. And all the others are external, physical helpers, physical ways of doing bhakti, like Kirtan. But the kirtan has to be done along with smaran. So do smaran alone or add any external practice along with it, but smaran must be there. I also explained that bhakti, this sadhana bhakti, navadha bhakti, it can either be done in the vaidhi bhakti style or the raganuga bhakti style. And vaidhi bhakti means doing this bhakti according to all the do's and don'ts of the Vedas, whereas Kripaluji Maharaj teaches to do Raganuga bhakti, which means you're not following rules of formalities when you're worshipping Radha and Krishna. You're just doing whatever helps you love them and remember them. So I explained that Raganuga bhakti has three main characteristics. One is that it is done selflessly. Our only desire is to be happy in Krishna's happiness. So we desire for his happiness. We desire to serve him for his happiness. This is the one desire of the devotee who practices Raganuga Bhakti. This is the first characteristic. The second characteristic is that Raganuga Bhakti has no affiliation of karma, jnana, yoga, or any other practice. It stands alone. And the third one is that on the path of Raganuga Bhakti, we don't think of Krishna as God. We don't think of his almighty greatness. We think of him with one of four bhav: Dasya bhav, Sakhya bhav, Vatsalya bhav, or Madhurya bhav, which encompasses all of the other relational feelings. So this is how far we got up until yesterday. I told you at the end of yesterday that if one practices sadhana bhakti according to these guidelines, according to the guidelines of Raganuga bhakti, then they will enter into the next stage of bhakti. After sadhana bhakti comes bhav bhakti. So that doesn't mean you stop practicing sadhana once you enter into bhav bhakti. It just means you start noticing some things, some changes, some internal changes. So today I'm going to describe to you, according to Rupa Goswami's description in Bhakti Rasamrit Sindhu, if someone is practicing sadhana bhakti and their mind starts to get purified and starts to get attached to Radha and Krishna, it means they're going to enter, just start entering into that stage of bhav bhakti. After that comes prema bhakti, once bhav bhakti is complete. So Rupa Goswami says there are 9 characteristics of bhav bhakti which someone can notice internally, that these things are happening to me, then you can know that you have entered the stage of bhav bhakti.
Chantiravyarthakalatvam viraktir mana shunyata Ashabandha samutkantha namagane sadaruchi asaktis tadgunakhyane pritis tadvasatisthale.
These are the 9 signs or characteristics of bhav bhakti. So we'll look at each one briefly tonight for our own reference so that we can know where we stand. The first one is chanti. Rupa Goswami defines that as this.
Trobhahetava piprapte chanti rakshubhitatmata.
He says, you have a reason to be angry, but you don't get angry. This is the first sign that you've entered into bhav bhakti. He says it's not about just not being angry, because that anyone can do. If someone looked in this hall right now and saw all of us sitting here, they would see none of these people is angry. Maybe they're all beyond anger, which would mean they're beyond Maya. They must all be God-realized saints. Look, not a trace of anger. But the anger's still there on the inside. It's just that there's no reason for us to be angry, so we're not angry. But the anger is still there waiting for the right environment. Just imagine someone walked in this hall. There's so much space for them to sit down. What if they sat down right next to you, and as they sat down, they jostled you? You would think, what? Well, you have the whole hall and you have to sit next? In other words, the anger was there, and the second the situation presented itself, out came the anger. So we're not beyond anger. But what starts happening as our heart purifies is that our spiritual power increases. So Sri Maharaji says that let's say you've gained 4 units of spiritual power, just to put a number on it. It means that you can tolerate a situation up to those 4 units. Let's say a situation which should generate 4 units of anger in you. You can now tolerate up to that without even feeling angry. It's not that you felt it and you controlled it. It just, you didn't feel angry. So if you get 5 units of spiritual power, you can tolerate up to 5, you know, that type of situation that would generate 5 units of anger. But if you're at 5 units of spiritual power and a 6-unit situation presents itself, then you won't experience 6 units of anger, you'll experience 1 unit of anger because you have 5 units of spiritual power. So that's the way it goes. You can notice that in your own behavior over the months, over the years. You start to realize that I don't feel as angry as I used to. This is a sign that we've entered into bhav bhakti. The next sign is avyarthakalatvam. It means not wanting to waste any time. Not even wanting to waste a moment, wanting to use every available moment for remembrance of God and Guru. It means we feel an urgency that this human life is temporary, it's fleeting. Who knows how long we'll get to stay on this earth planet following this path? Where will we go after we die? We don't know. So we know all of these things intellectually already, yet to what extent do we really feel that in our heart? How much urgency do we feel? When we hear Sri Maharaji giving a speech telling us about the importance of human life, then we're sitting there saying, oh yes, yes, really, I can't waste any time. This is a golden opportunity, and who knows how long it will last. But then when we leave the prayer hall, we go back to our, you know, lowest common denominator. We go back to where we normally are. So when that starts coming up, when we really start to feel that urgency, that's the second sign, the second characteristic of Bhav Bhakti. And these characteristics don't necessarily come one after another. They all come up at once, gradually. You start noticing them. It means, you know, let's say you get home from work and you've had a long day and you feel like relaxing. So what do many people do? What do many of us do? Oh, we'll sit with our family or we'll sit with a friend or a neighbor and just have some worldly talks. Oh yes, what was that person up to? What did this person say? What did that person do? In other words, we like to gossip. It may not be malicious, but we like to hear the neighborhood news. When we get a little break at work and we're sitting with coworkers, we're maybe criticizing our boss or criticizing that coworker or gossiping about something that went on. So this avyarthakalatvam, when this starts manifesting in the heart, you don't want to hear any of that. Whenever you get a spare moment, you desire to use it to remember Radha Krishna. Whereas before, our desire was to hear that kind of gossip. We had, like, inside of us a real ruchi, a real interest. If you hear someone, what? Tell me too. See, that starts going away. And contrary to that, Maharaji says, instead of feeling like you want to hear what those people are talking about, if someone tells you some gossip, you feel like someone's taking some cow dung and stuffing it in your mouth, telling you Maharaji's words. That's how you feel if when someone's making you hear that kind of worldly, useless talk. You feel like that, you just want to get away. Let me get away from this person. I want to think of Radha and Krishna, not this. But we still have to do our duty in the world. Our desire is to think of Radha and Krishna all the time, but we still have to fulfill our responsibilities and physical duties in the world, but with our mind always attached to Radha and Krishna. For example, let's say there's a nurse in a hospital, and she works in the children's section. So all day long, she's taking care of other people's children who are ill. Now, let's say today she went to work, and her daughter was ill and stayed home from school. So her daughter is sick at home, and she's in the hospital taking care of other people's children. So where is her attachment? In her daughter at home, but she's still doing her job professionally. She's a professional nurse. She's taking care of all of those other children to the best of her ability, but her attachment is in her daughter at home. That's how we can live in the world, with our mind attached to Radha and Krishna, but doing a professional job of whatever it is we have to do physically in the world. So this is avyarthakalatvam. The next one, number three, is virakti. It means not having rag, not having desire or attachment for the world. Now, of course, having zero desire, zero attachment, that means we'll be God-realized that instant when that happens. But it starts to happen naturally. See, in the beginning, with the knowledge, we understand, oh yes, this is the nature of worldly happiness. It's fleeting, it's temporary, it's always limited. Even while I'm enjoying it, I still feel dissatisfied because it's only material happiness. I'm really desiring divine happiness. We get all of this intellectual knowledge, and to some extent, then we start changing our habits. That, oh, instead of desiring this worldly thing, I'm going to desire God. But eventually it comes from inside. The desire itself reduces from inside. You're not making it happen by your thinking. It just, from inside, the desires of the five senses to see something beautiful, smell something that makes us happy, taste something, touch something, hear something. These are the five kinds of desires that we have. And for uncountable lifetimes, our life has been governed by these desires. We run after these desires every day of our life. So the ruchi for that starts to go away. You just find you don't desire it. Not 0%, but less than before. You just feel, oh, my interest in these worldly things is less. How did it happen? It's a sign that your heart is purified to some extent, and you're starting to enter the stage of bhav bhakti. So it means that the interest in those enjoyments has reduced. It doesn't mean that those objects of the enjoyment are destroyed. That's not detachment. That's not virakti. We don't destroy the objects of attachment, just the interest in those things, the interest reduces, ruchi. Yet we still have to make use of those things. The very things that we used to make use of because we're so interested in the pleasure we would get by enjoying them. Now, instead of making use of them for that reason, we make use of them because we need them. For instance, food. Maybe a person used to eat because, oh, I really want to have this taste. Let me eat this. How much of it can I get? And now they eat because, well, my body needs a certain number of calories, vitamins, minerals, proteins, so let me eat that because my body needs it. So he still makes use of that thing. Sri Maharaji says if you're wealthy and you need protein, you can eat cashews. And if you're poor, you can eat peanuts. Either way, you need the protein, one way or the other. So you just make use of it. But before eating, you offer it to Radha and Krishna. And you say, now I'm going to eat this as your prasad. So you can enjoy the taste of it while you're eating it, but while you're enjoying the taste, think that, why does this taste good? Because Krishna had some of this. Radharani had some of this, and that's why it tastes so good. And why am I eating it? Not for enjoyment, to power my physical body so that I can do more devotion. So we don't throw anything out. Just our reason for using it changes. Even saints keep using all the things in the world after God realization. There's an example of a saint during the time of Chaitanya Mahaprabhuji named Pundarika Vidyanidhi. He lived in such opulence which would have put a king to shame. He lived in a palace with everything in the palace was gold. If he was sitting on a seat, on an asana that was golden. There were servants, young maidens there in his palace doing all the service to him, fanning him, bringing him things. Yet he was a God-realized saint who had zero attachment in any of that. One time Mahaprabhuji said to his disciples, come on, let's go and I'm going to visit a great saint. Why don't you come with me? So when they arrived, you know, some of his disciples were surprised to see, oh, I thought we were going to see a saint, but why is he living like this? One, specifically Gadadhar, really started thinking in his mind that, why are we going to visit him? This can't be a saint. And then when Mahaprabhuji came, he embraced Pundarika Vidyanidhi, and they were both crying tears to meet each other. So Gadadhar was thinking that, how can this be a saint? He seems to be living in a more worldly situation than any worldly person I know. He must be more worldly than any person in this world. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhuji later, he knew what he was thinking. So to teach him a lesson, he said that, you know, that's a spiritual transgression, thinking that against this saint. So he sent him back to him to beg for his forgiveness for having thought that. Now, while he was there, another disciple was along with him, and that disciple sang a verse from the Bhagavatam. And in that verse was imbued the bliss of Krishna's divine love. And when Pundarika Vidyanidhi heard that verse sung, he actually displayed many of the symptoms of divine love which manifest in a saint's body. Although the saint keeps that hidden inside to the best of his ability, it may manifest. So he actually fainted, completely unconscious, in the bliss of hearing that one verse from the Bhagavatam. So now Gadadhar saw, oh, now what was inside of him came out. Now I see what his true divine state is. I was looking at his surroundings and trying to judge him. Now I see what his real internal state is. I made a big mistake. So a saint could live in the most opulent situation. He could live in total renunciation. It makes no difference to the saint. He is completely virakt from inside. But no matter what situation he's living in, all saints still take care of their physical body. So they also eat, sleep, take medicine, just like we do, but without any attachment. So this is the third characteristic of bhav bhakti. You start to feel the interest in enjoying worldly things diminish from within. You're not making it diminish, you just noticed it happened. It's a sign of heart purification, a sign of bhav bhakti. Number four is mana shunyata. It means the desire to be liked, the desire to be respected, also starts to diminish from inside. Of course, as devotees, we need to learn to control that from outside as well. We try to, even though we may not feel humble, from inside we may not always feel respectful towards other devotees, but we discipline our behavior so that we show respect to other devotees all the time. And we behave humbly, even if we aren't humble. That's part of the discipline of being a devotee, to show that respect to other devotees. But eventually, when you enter into bhav bhakti, that humbleness comes from inside, naturally. So when that happens, although we're not saints yet, so that feeling is still there that we want people to like us, it just becomes less. We still desire to be respected and appreciated, it just reduces. We don't feel as that it's that important to us as it used to be. So this is a big thing for a devotee, because this ahankar, this pride we feel, can be very damaging to us. It can lead to behavior on our part which can really damage our devotion and even upset others. The thing about it is, people are bound to say things to us from time to time. We're bound to get criticized from time to time. We're bound to be disrespected from time to time. So we have to learn to bear that without reacting. And really, Sri Maharaji says, we shouldn't even feel badly inside if someone criticizes us. Why not? Because whatever a person could say to us in whatever words, it's all true. Because until God realization, we're under Maya. And if we're under Maya, we have a material mind. And if we have a material mind, then all the faults are there. Maybe more, maybe less, but every single imaginable fault is there in our mind, definitely. So whatever someone could tell us in terms of criticism, they would be right. So really, it's impossible for us to be disrespected. Think about it. If someone calls Kamdev, the god of beauty of this Brahmand, if someone calls him ugly, then he's being disrespected because he's not ugly, he's beautiful. But we're not Kamdev, so if someone calls us that word, why would we feel offended? Brihaspati is the most intelligent personality of our Brahmand. So if someone called him dumb or stupid, that's an insult, because he's not, he's highly intelligent. If someone calls us by such a name, that's not disrespect, That's a fact. We're not Brihaspati. We're ignorant, as ignorant as anybody. If someone tells us we're angry, we're selfish, or any other name in the book, whatever they could say is all true. So it means that we should remember that from inside and really feel that if someone's pointing out a fault to me, instead of reacting that, oh, that's not me, I'm not like that, how dare you? Just remember Sri Maharaj's words. I must have that fault, I'm not God realized, and if someone else is pointing it out, maybe it's worse than I thought. So if you have a scorpion crawling on your back that you don't know about and someone comes and says, hey, there's a scorpion on your back. You'll say, quick, get it off. You won't say, how dare you tell me I have a scorpion crawling on my back? So it's the same way if someone points out one of our faults, instead of reacting in anger, we should be happy. Oh, really? I didn't know it was that bad. I better work on that. Tulsidas ji goes to the point of saying, Nindak niyare rakhiye angan kuti chhavaya. He says, if there's someone you know who likes to criticize you and insult you, build him a hut just outside the entrance to your house so that he can be close to you. And then serve him, you know, bring him food and water and make sure he's rested so that he can, you know, have another go at you. And then what should you do? Practice smiling in the face of that and not feeling anything from inside. So this starts to come automatically as we progress farther into Bhav Bhakti. You just notice. So you can take this from both sides, that this is something I should work on and try and develop these qualities, and also just watch and see, because in Bhav Bhakti, these qualities develop naturally from inside. So you just notice. It doesn't bother me as much anymore. I don't feel the need to be respected as much. Sri Maharaji says, you'll reach the point eventually where instead of craving for compliments, you will crave criticism. No one criticized me or insulted me all day today. I really feel like something's missing. He said, you'll get to that point. That's obviously a very elevated point. We're not there yet, but let's keep working until we get there. This pride is such a thing that even divine personalities do acting in that way. They act like they're having great pride to teach the souls the danger of such pride. Sri Maharaji tells a story that one time, simultaneously, one of Krishna's queens in Dwarika, Satyabhama, one of his 8 main queens, she was feeling a great pride of her beauty. She was thinking that, let alone this physical universe, there's no one in this physical universe who could compare to my beauty, nor is there anyone in the whole divine world. I'm the most beautiful. At the very same time, Krishna's divine carrier, Garuda, who's like a divine eagle, not an eagle, but there's no such bird in this world, so we can say he's like a divine eagle. He had a pride that there's no one with my speed. I'm the fastest in the whole universe. He's Krishna's carrier. And at the very same time, Sudarshan Chakra, Krishna's disc, his weapon, which is the most powerful weapon in the whole universe, he had that pride that there's no one more powerful than me. I could burn the whole universe to ashes in 1 second. So all 3 of them were having this pride, and Krishna said, oh, I'm going to have to do something about this. He doesn't like to see pride in the hearts of his devotees. So he said, he called for Garuda. Garuda, I need something done, and I need it done fast. Yes, anything. I'll do it immediately. Okay, go and find Hanuman. He told him he's still on the earth planet since Ram's dissension. Go to this place where he is and tell him that I want to talk to him. Call him to come to me. So he said, yes, right away, I'm going. I'll be back before you know it. Okay, so he went to that place where Hanumanji was supposed to be, and on the trail where Garuda was passing through, there was a monkey lying there with his tail across the trail. So Garuda said, "Hey, monkey, move your tail so I can pass." So Hanumanji said, "Oh, I'm too old, I can't even lift my own tail anymore, you move it." So Garudji tried with his full might to lift his tail, he couldn't budge it. So he said, "You wouldn't happen to be Hanumanji, would you?" "Yes, that's me," he said. "Oh, I'm so sorry, I made a big mistake." "Okay, so what did you want?" "Well, Shri Krishna is calling for you in Dwarika." So Hanumanji thought of joking with him a little bit. He said, "I have nothing to do with Krishna. If Ram is calling me, that's one thing. But if Krishna is calling me, no, I'm not going." So Garudji didn't know what to think. "Whoa, I wasn't expecting that reaction." So he went back and told Krishna what he had said. Krishna said, okay, tell him Ram is calling." So he went back and said, "Actually, Hanumanji, Ram, Sita Ram are calling you to come in Dwarika." Okay, I'm coming just now. You go on ahead. I'm just going to grab a drink of water and I'll be right behind you." So Garudji said, "But Hanumanji, you're so old. It could take you a long time to get there. Why don't you sit on my back? I'll just get you there immediately. We'll be there before you know it." Hanumanji said, "I told you I'm coming, didn't I? You go ahead. I'll be right there." So Garudji said, "Oh, you don't have to get angry. I'm just trying to help." Hanumanji had enough. He picked him up, swung him around by his tail, and tossed him in the ocean, and immediately got there to Dwarika. So as he was entering the gates of Dwarika, who was guarding the city? None but Sudarshan Chakra. So he saw Hanumanji coming to enter the city, and he said, "Hey, monkey, where do you think you're going? Can't just enter like that." Hanumanji said, "And who would you be?" "Oh, I'm Sudarshan Chakra, Krishna's protector. Come a little closer. Come here. And he grabbed him and kept him in his cheek like this. And he went on in to meet Krishna. Now inside Krishna's palace, Krishna was saying to Satyabhama, quick, Hanumanji's coming. You dress up like Sita, you become Sita, I'll become Ram, and we'll sit on the throne. Because if we look like this and he sees that we tricked him, that, you know, it wasn't Ram calling him, he may just pick up the whole of Dwarika and throw it in the ocean." So Krishna, all he had to do was put his crown straight and he became Ram. He himself is Ram. He just, Krishna's crown is a little crooked, Ram's is straight. So he sat there on the asan, and Satyabhama got dressed up just like Sita and sat on the asan next to Krishna. And Hanumanji came on in. So Krishna said, "Hanumanji, what's that in your cheek? There's like a bulge in your cheek." So Hanumanji said, "Oh, there was some toy, you know, some, I don't know what it was, it looked like a toy to me at the entrance, and he was being rude to me, so I just stuck him in there for safekeeping." "And where's Garuda? I sent him to bring you." "Oh, he was talking so much unnecessarily, I just tossed him into the ocean." And Hanumanji says, "So, my lord, please tell me, who is this handmaiden sitting next to you on the throne, on Mother Sita's seat?" Satyabhama was aghast. "He's calling me a servant, a handmaiden?" And Hanumanji is saying, "Who can sit next to you on Sita's throne? This doesn't seem right." So although all three of these divine personalities were acting with great pride, Krishna found a way to remove that pride in a playful way. But the point is that eventually that pride reduces and humbleness rises in the heart of a devotee. This is mana shunyata. It's the fourth sign of bhav bhakti. The fifth sign is asha bandha. It means having full confidence of meeting Radha and Krishna in this lifetime. This is a big one. Sometimes devotees feel disheartened that, you know, I've been practicing devotion for so many years now. I don't know, will I ever get there? This nirasha, this feeling of disheartenment, is the enemy of devotion. We have to be careful. We should have full confidence. Sri Maharaji says, don't give up. Like if a person's digging for water, he's digging a well and he goes down, and at first it's easy digging because it's sand, and then let's say he hits some gravel. And he says, oh, this is not what I signed on for. This is too hard. I give up. Or he goes and tries to dig in. No, I was having an easy time of it. Now I hit gravel. He gives up on that hole. He goes and starts digging another hole. Eventually he's going to hit bedrock there as well. So if he keeps giving up, he'll keep starting new holes and never finish any of them. Sri Maharaji says, you should be that determined and have that much confidence that it doesn't matter if I hit gravel, I'll keep going till I break through it. It doesn't matter if I hit bedrock, I'll get through that too. I'm going to keep digging until I get water. So this is the confidence that starts to develop in a devotee's heart. Maybe in the beginning, you felt like it would be nice to meet Radha and Krishna. It sounds nice, but now you never even consider that there's any other option. It's going to happen in this life. So that arising in the heart, that's a sign that you've entered into bhav bhakti. Another reason that people feel disheartened is they compare themselves to other devotees, and they think that, oh, this devotee just came last year and they're already ahead of me. Or this devotee is moving so fast and I'm so slow, and then we feel disheartened. So Sri Maharaji says, it's okay to compare yourself to other devotees and notice that someone's going faster than you, but use that as inspiration. If you want to compare yourself to them, you want to make it a competition, good, but use it in an inspiring way. Oh, look at how good that devotee is. I would love to become like them. What can I learn from them? How can I imitate them to improve my own devotion? So the desire to be better is good, but don't turn it around so that you get disheartened that, oh, everybody's better than me. See, it's different than humbleness. You feel that everyone is better than you, but you still have full confidence that you're going to meet Radha and Krishna. So you do feel, I'm the lowest of all the devotees. That's good. That's a good sign if that feeling is there. That's true humbleness. But at the same time, you have asha bandha. You have full confidence that no matter how fallen I am, Krishna is going to come to me because I belong to him. Sri Maharaji says, even if you see so many other devotees who are going faster than you or they're ahead of you on the path, he says, think about it in the big picture. Out of 6 billion people on this earth planet, how many of them have even met a true saint? Out of all those who have met a true saint, how many of them have accepted them as you have accepted your master? So you're in such a minority. You're in such rarefied air. You're literally one in a million. So there may be a few devotees ahead of you on the path, but compare yourself to the rest of the world. You are literally one in a million. You're part of the elite when it comes to devotion. Now, that's not to give you a superiority complex, but you should have confidence that I am so lucky to have met a saint in this life and to have had good enough sanskars that I have accepted him in my heart. I'm following the path. No matter how slowly, I am proceeding on the path. And you can see that these things I'm describing, at least some of them, I'm sure you've experienced, if only a little bit. So it shows that you've progressed even past, you're still doing sadhana bhakti, but look, you're entering into bhav bhakti now. That's a great sign. So the next one is samutkantha. It means that the longing for Radha and Krishna, the restlessness you feel without them, that also multiplies. Paramavyakulateti, Naradji says, you start to feel more and more restless, extremely restless without them. So like I said in the beginning, maybe the desire was very mild to meet Radha and Krishna. Now you feel that it's something you have to do. You feel restless to find them, restless to meet them. This is samutkantha. That's number 6. Number 7, 8, and 9 are very similar. 7 is namagane sadaruchi. You always feel the desire to chant Radha and Krishna's name. You don't feel like, let's say we did chanting for 2 hours, and then you just feel like, okay, that's enough. 2 hours, I mean, that's a lot of chanting. Enough is enough already. I'll do some more tomorrow. No, namagane sadaruchihi means no matter how much you do, you thirst for more because you're actually starting to experience the ras in Krishna's name. So no matter how much chanting you do, your mind, your heart always desires to hear his name more. Asaktis tadgunakhyane. It means you also develop an attachment to Krishna's virtues, to his personality. Just like if you love someone in the world, maybe you've all been in love. So think back to that time when you were in love and you sat with your girlfriend talking about that person that you were in love with, or you sat with, if you're a guy, you sat with one of your friends and you talked with that person, you talked about that person you were in love with. So did you ever feel satisfied? You just wanted to talk about them more and more. Well, they're like this and they're like that, and they have this quality and they have that quality, and they look like this, and when they do that, I really like it. Your friend might have gotten tired hearing you talk about it, but you never got tired. So when you have this feeling for Krishna, that means you're really getting attached to his personality and to his virtues. So you just want to keep talking about it or hearing about it. And the 9th one, the 9th symptom of bhav bhakti, is you develop a similar attachment to his dham, to his holy places. So like if you hear someone say, oh, I'm going to India and I'm going to go to Barsana, and I'm going to visit the place Radha Kund, where Radha used to bathe with the gopis. So you'll feel something, oh, you are? Oh, I want to go and see that place. So it means it's not just a place for you, you're attached to it. Even if you've never been there, even if you've never seen it with your own eyes, you know it's Radha's abode, it's Krishna's abode, so you're naturally attached. This is also a sign of bhav bhakti. So these are the 9 characteristics of bhav bhakti that start to manifest in a devotee's heart. These all come up basically simultaneously. You start to notice that it's happening within you. That's the indication that your heart has started to purify. We still have farther to go. And as we progress further, our heart will purify further, and these 9 characteristics or symptoms will continue to grow. And eventually, bhav bhakti will be complete. You'll reach the stage of full heart purification. And then your guru will grace you with swarup shakti. Your heart will be divinized, and then you will receive prema bhakti. Now, tomorrow will be the last speech in this series. And tomorrow I'm going to explain to you a little bit more about the stages of bhakti. So far we kept it simple. Sadhana bhakti, bhav bhakti, and prema bhakti. But actually there are 3 stages in sadhana bhakti, 6 stages in bhav bhakti, and 8 stages, 8 levels in prema bhakti. So we'll go over all of this briefly tomorrow, and that will conclude this series on bhakti. So we'll finish with a little bit of chanting now.
Guru Kripalur Mam Sharanam Vandeham Sad Guru Charanam
Guru Kripalur Mam Sharanam Vandeham Sad Guru Charanam
Guru Kripalur Mam Sharanam Vandeham Sadguru Charanam
Guru Kripalur Mam Sharanam Vandeham Sadguru
Mangalamapi Mangalakaranam Vandeham Sadguru Charanam
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 Vandeham Sadguru Charanam
Vandeham Sadguru Charanam
Guru Kripalur Mam Sharanam 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 Vandeham Sadguru Charanam
Maya Moha Jal Haranam Vandeham Sadguru Charanam Maya Moha Jal Haranam Vandeham Sadguru Charanam Vandeham Sadguru Charanam
Vandeham Sadguru Charanam
Guru Kripalur Mam Sharanam Vandeham Sadguru Charanam
Guru Kripalur Mam Sharanam Vandeham Sadguru Charanam
Guru Kripalur Mam Sharanam Vandeham Sadguru Charanam
Guru Kripalur Sharanam Vande Sadguru Charanam
Gopi Prema Bhava Bharanam Vandeham Sadguru Charanam
Gopi Prem Bhav Bharanam Vandeham Sadguru Charanam
Gopi Prem Bhav Bharanam Vandeham Sadguru Charanam
Gopi Prem Bhav Bharanam Vandeham Sadguru Charanam
Vandeham Sadguru Charanam
Vandeham Sadguru Charanam
Guru Kripalur Mam Sharanam 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 Vandeham Sadguru Charanam
Kripaya Panchakosh Jaranam 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 Vandeham Sadguru Charanam
Vandeham Sadguru Charanam
Vandeham Sadguru Charanam
Yoga Kshema Vahana Karanam 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 Vandeham Sadguru Charanam
Vandeham Sadguru Charanam
Vandeham Sadguru Charanam
Guru Kripalur Mam Sharanam 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 Vandeham Sadguru Charanam
Asharana Sharanam Guru Charanam Vandeham Sadguru Charanam
Sadhasharan Sharanam Guru Charanam Vandeham Sadguru Charanam
Asharan Sharanam Guru Charanam Vandeham Sadguru Charanam
Asharan Sharanam Guru Charanam Vandeham Sadguru Charanam
Vandeham Sadguru Charanam
Vandeham Sadguru Charanam
Premayachate Radha Krishna Prema Bharanam Vandeham Sadguru Charanam
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 Guru Kripalul Mama Sharanam 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 Vandeham Sadguru Charanam
Premayachate nahi taranam 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 Vandeham Sadguru Charanam
Vandeham Sadguru Charanam
Vandeham Sadguru Charanam
Triguna Tritap Pap Haranam 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 Vandeham Sadguru Charanam
Vandeham Sadguru Charanam
Vandeham Sadguru Charanam
Vande ham sad guru charanam.
Vande ham sad guru charanam.
Guru charanam sad guru charanam. Vande ham sad guru charanam.
Guru charanam sad guru charanam. Vande ham sad guru charanam.
Guru charanam sad guru charanam. Vande ham sad guru charanam.
Guru charanam sad guru charanam. Vande ham sad guru charanam.
Guru kripalur mam sharanam. Vande ham sad guru charanam.
Guru kripalur mam sharanam. Vande ham sad guru charanam.
Guru kripalur mam sharanam. Vande ham sad guru charanam.
Guru kripalur mam sharanam. Vande ham sad guru charanam.
Guru charanam sad guru charanam. Vande ham sad guru charanam.
Guru charanam sad guru charanam. Vande ham sad guru charanam.
Guru charanam sad guru charanam. Vande ham sad guru charanam.
Guru charanam sad guru charanam. Vande ham sad guru charanam.
Vande ham sad guru charanam.
Vande ham sad guru charanam.
Vande ham sad guru charanam.
Vande ham sad guru charanam.
Guru charanam sad guru charanam. Vande ham sad guru charanam.
Guru charanam sad guru charanam. Vande ham sad guru charanam.
Guru charanam sad guru charanam. Vande ham sad guru charanam.
Guru charanam sad guru charanam. Vande ham sad guru charanam.
Vande ham sad guru charanam.
Vande ham sad guru charanam.
Vande ham sad guru charanam.
Vande ham sad guru charanam.
Guru kripalur mam sharanam. Vande ham sad guru charanam.
Guru kripalur mam sharanam. Vande ham sad guru charanam.
Guru kripalur mam sharanam. Vande ham sad guru charanam.
Guru kripalur mam sharanam. Vande ham sad guru charanam.
Boliye Shrimat Sadguru Sarkar ki.